12 tonight, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at that. All right, here we've been in the book of Romans now for some time, in which we're not in any hurry. We're just sort of waiting on the rapture to happen. And so we're really not in any hurry. We don't have a time frame to get through with the book of Romans. But in the book of Romans, let me just give you some introductory things. We dealt with several things in the book of Romans. I want to give you this. Chapters 1 through 8 deal with the major doctrines of sin and salvation. You remember how chapter 2 just tore us all to pieces and told us how bad of sinners we were. And then chapter 3 says how we can get out of that mess that we were in. And then chapter 4 and 5 and so on says after you get saved, you need to crucify your flesh and get your flesh right. And so on and so forth. And then in chapter 9, 10, 11, it gives us things about the nation of Israel and their relationship to the gospel. And then the rest of this is in three sections. The rest of this section, we're going to start section number 3. It happens in chapter 12, goes through the rest of all the way to chapter 16. And this is where the rubber meets the road. Now, everybody can shout Romans 3 and 26, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5, 12, wherefore one man sinned in the world, death by sin, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans 5, 8, God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, we're just talking about going to heaven. Y'all don't get excited or nothing. Everybody gets excited about the first part of the book of Romans, but here in chapter 12 is where it gets real serious. Y'all know what I'm saying? Real serious. You understand? Now, after you are saved, what are you doing now? This is where we lose all the shouting. And so I do want you to look at the last verse of chapter 11. It should be right above there in chapter 12. The last verse of chapter 11. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Then it goes chapter 12. I beseech you therefore. Now you say, preacher, why did you read that previous verse? It's because this is why the therefore is therefore. Because, in other words, in light of what we have just read in verse number 36, I beseech you therefore, brethren, because verse 36, everything's about him, everything's through him, everything's to him, everything, all things, he gets the glory for everything, so why don't we just serve God? That's what he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Therefore, in light of he gets the glory anyway. Everything's about him. It all goes through him. It's all in him. It all flows out of him. He gets the glory for everything. So why don't we just worship and serve God? And that's what he was saying in verse number 1. Section number 1 of Romans deals with the sin problem. Section number 2, 9, 10, 11, deals with the Jew problem. And then the third section deals with the life problem. Do y'all have as much trouble with the Christian life as I do? Am I the only one that has trouble with the Christian life? Everybody's like, no, preacher, we need to get us another preacher. If he's having that much trouble, we need to get us another preacher. Hallelujah. Romans is sort of like the book of Ephesians. The first part of the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters deal with salvation. Everybody shouts for that. Then 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians talks about service. And that's where we get in trouble. Now, I do want to say this. Verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. In other words, Paul is down on his hands and knees begging. I beg you. I am pleading with you. I am asking you. I am begging you to please serve God. Now, under the law, when it's under the law, you'll see the words, I command you. But under grace, it's, I beseech you. You know, you can make a person do something. You know, my dad always told this story, and I've even done it with my children. And you tell your kids to do something, and they won't do it. And you tell them, say, if you don't do this, I'm telling you what, I'm going to get my belt, and I'm fixing to beat the tar out of you. And they go ahead and do it. And they'll mumble under their breath, I'm doing it, but in my heart, I ain't doing it. You can make people serve God outwardly. But until people serve God inwardly, you're really not doing anything. Preachers can be about browbeat their congregation. Hey, let me tell you what, you got to be here this, and you got to wear this, and we believe in and some of those things, if you will, but if you're not doing it because the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you and leading you to do those things, it don't do any good for you to do them just to please the congregation or the preacher. If you're just doing them outwardly, that ain't going to. If you're just doing it because it's a command, you forget that. Paul says, I beseech you, I'm begging you to serve God. And when you serve God from the inside, you'll see some difference. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I think what is 2 Corinthians says, the love of Christ constraineth me. Notice here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, talking to saved people. The first part of the book of Romans, talking to lost people, but now we're talking to saved people. Paul calls them brethren. If you're saved in this room, and if you're a man, you're my brother in Christ. If you're a lady in this room and you're saved, you are my sister in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he's talking to saved people. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, saved people, by the mercies of God. You know what? Hey, by the mercies of God. The mercy of God. The mercy of God that was extended to you on the cross. If nothing motivates you to serve God, that should. If anything motivates us to serve God, the sure mercies of God ought to motivate us to serve God. The mercies of God. Isaac Watts wrote this, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. If Jesus Christ has died for me, how can I do less than live for him? I beseech you therefore, brethren, saved people, this happens after salvation. Then he says, present your bodies. You say, preacher, presenting your bodies. It's the same word, yield. I think Romans, over there, Romans tells us to yield our members. Yield our members under righteousness. If you come to a four-way stop and there's no red light, if you come to a three-way stop and there's no red light, it's just a blinking light up there, you're supposed to stop, come to a complete stop. You're not supposed to roll through it. You're supposed to come to a complete stop. And if two of you come to a complete stop at the same time, one of you is going to have to yield to the other and let them go first. I have a problem with that. I want to be first. You know, and I've told this before, but you know, those blinking yellow arrows where we're going down from two lane to one lane, and the thing says merge now. This lane closes in the next mile and a half, 2 miles. And you've got cars that zoom up past you, and they want to pass you and get over. Not in front of me, you don't. No, I ain't yielding. I ain't yielding. You either get over behind me when the arrow says to, don't you run up in front and try to swoop over real quick. You yield when you're supposed to yield, and you yield to me, get behind me. Now, let's transfer that over. Now, that's all funny, but let's transfer that over into the spiritual matter. God is saying, yield. Get out of the lane that you're in and move over into this lane. Please, I beseech you. Please, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, would you please merge? Would you please get out of that lane that you're in? Would you please get over here where the will of God is? Would you please get over here where the blessings of God are flowing? And some of them, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. Are we saved? Yes, we're saved. But saved people sometimes are the most hard-headedest bunch of people you've ever met in your life. Have you ever met one? You probably met one this morning when you looked in that mirror to comb your hair. You probably said, there's one hard-headed joker right there in that mirror. That's a hard-headed joker. Saved people are like that. What he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. That should want to make you yield. And present your bodies. Now let me say something. Let me say something about this. No, we're not going to get very far, okay? We're not going to get very far. But I do want to draw some of these applications for you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now, sometimes as preachers, we say some dumb stuff. We say some dumb stuff. And we'll say stuff. And I've done it. But we'll give the invitation, and we'll say, please come down and give Christ your life. Can I help you? Christ don't want your life. Your life is filthy rags. He don't want your life. He wants your heart. He don't want your life. You know what Christ wants? He wants a new creature in Christ Jesus. Give Christ your life. Well, that's okay. In all actuality, Christ does not want, what does he want? Yield your bodies. My body. A living, notice it says, a living sacrifice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, how do you present your body a living sacrifice? Well, this, did you know this before you were saved? Ephesians 2 says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. That means before you got saved, you were dead in trespasses and in sin. That's what you look like. If you're lost in this room right now, that's what you look like on the inside. Dead in trespasses and in sin. That's why you will go to hell one day if you don't get saved, because that's why you look like this on the inside. That's why you go to, this is what sends you to hell. God don't send you to hell, but this empty life is what sends you to hell. But when you get saved, as Jesus Christ come into your heart, guess what? You ever notice this example in Genesis 1? Watch and see if you see this. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's the way you were before you got saved. Then one Sunday morning, or Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or at home on Thursday, or whatever it was, the Spirit of God began to move. I feel something on that on a Wednesday night. The Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. You moved from darkness unto life. Don't get excited. Please, don't get excited. I know you worked all day, but you moved from darkness unto life. And he says, this right here, this is dead. This is living. You with me? Now that you're like this, he says, present your bodies a living. The only person that can present their body a living sacrifice is somebody that's living on the inside. And the only way you can present your living sacrifice, you can't present a living sacrifice because you're a dead sacrifice. A saved person. That's why he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, saved people. You're the only people that can present your bodies a living sacrifice. because you're alive. Now, guess what? In the Old Testament, the Old Testament priest would bring a sacrifice and offer a sacrifice in the temple on Saturday. You with me? Well, you're not going to believe this. But in the New Testament, guess what? All of that old system has been done away. Jesus Christ is our high priest. But we, as saved people, are the priesthood of the believer. Well, you're supposed to bring a sacrifice too. Priest, that's what priests do. They bring sacrifices. Not Old Testament sacrifices. Now, there's a New Testament sacrifice. You say, preacher, I'm a priest. I'm a priest. Yes, we're priests unto God. We're priests. If you're saved, you're a priest. Well, if you're a priest and you're saved, you're supposed to be bringing a sacrifice. What do? What's my sacrifice? God, don't have much. This is all I got. I give it all to you. I give it all to you. I present you therefore by the resurrected life. Now, we got to get this out of our mind that God cannot do anything without us. Let me motivate you. Let me give you a little Joel Osteen motivation. God without you is still God.
Amen.
You without God is nothing. Don't that make you feel good? That makes you feel good. I just feel like flinging my hair back. How to be a better you? This is how to be a better you. Guess what? God without you is still God, but you without God is nothing. And when we get that fixed in our minds, we realize, God, I don't have much to offer you, but what I have, I give unto thee. That, Lord, you can take something I've got. Take these hands, take these eyes, take these feet, take these arms, take these legs, and Lord, do so. Everything I have is yours. I'm living, I'm breathing, I'm a living sacrifice. Here I'm laying my all on the altar, and here it is. Hallelujah. Now watch what it says here. Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. That means set apart, holy, set apart. Acceptable unto God. Which is your reasonable service? Now watch this. Let me give you the parable of the chicken and the pig. And it's not in the Bible. The parable of the chicken and the pig. Y'all ready? A farmer once approached a chicken and a pig and asked a heart-searching question. He asked each one of them, "Will you contribute to a ham and egg breakfast?" For one of them, it was just a contribution. But for one of them, it was total sacrifice. Some Christians like to be the chicken. Lord, I don't give you all. I'll just give you a little bit if it don't cost me everything. I mean, now y'all was laughing at like my parable. But when you turn that thing and put her down there where we're living, well, here's what God wants. God wants the ham. And the only way you get the ham is kill the hog. Here I am. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. God, I don't have much. It's not a bragging thing. I don't have anything, God. But whatever I have, you made me. And so what you made, you can have back. To use to your honor and your glory. That's what he said. Holy, acceptable, reasonable service. You know what the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter number 9, when he got saved on the road to Damascus, he said these words, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Ain't that pretty good? Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, I mean, you know, now, I want you to notice this. What will you have me to do? Well, look at verse, I mean, we've got to get two verses in, surely. Reasonable service. Say, preacher, what's reasonable? Can you think about this? Reasonable service. Yeah, it's Wednesday night. Y'all can take it. Wednesday night people can take it. I couldn't do this on Sunday morning. They can't take it. You are special. God give us his all. Don't you think it's reasonable that he only requires 10%? That's reasonable. He give 100. Y'all do know what 100 is, don't you? 100 for Brother Crawford. 100. He give 100% and he says 10%. Reasonable. Y'all watch this. Now I know it's getting quiet in here. Let me take my glasses off. That way I won't see the looks on your face. It's reasonable service to give him the whole day on Sunday. He give you 7. You can't give him 1. I'm talking about Sunday morning and Sunday. Amen. Lord, you're going to have to help me. I feel like a burning sacrifice up here right now. 7 days. It's reasonable for you just to give me 1 back. I didn't ask for half. I didn't ask for 3/4. I just asked for 1 day. And an hour or an hour and a half on a Wednesday in the middle of the week just to help you get over the hump. Just an hour, maybe 2 tonight, 2 hours tonight maybe. On a Wednesday night. Now y'all know me. Y'all know people, you know I ain't fussed. People work. I know that. Yeah, I know you can't, but I'm talking about if you're not here, y'all ready? That's why I got my glasses off. I can't see you. If you're not here and you're sitting at home, then I'm talking to you. If you're working, we understand that. If you're sick, we understand that. If you got, you know, sometimes your ox gets in the ditch. You can't help it. We had some call and said, hey, whatever. This, we understand. I ain't fussing about that. But I'm saying if you're home. That's not reasonable. I told you y'all shouldn't come tonight. Reasonable. 10% of my time, 10% of my money, 10% of my income, 10% of my... It's reasonable service to get up 10 minutes early and read 3 chapters in the Bible before I go to work. It's reasonable service to pray before all my meals that I eat. It's reasonable service. I feel like preaching now. It's reasonable service to serve God. He don't ask for a whole lot. What he does ask for is reasonable. He's not asking for you to do anything that you cannot do, that you're incapable of doing. He says, everything I ask you to do is reasonable service. It's just reasonable. Amen. Reasonable service. Well, anyway, that went over pretty good. Now, reasonable service. Verse 2, I'm almost done. No amens, please. We start off with a negative in verse 2, then we have a positive. Negative always, usually, 9 times out of 10 comes first. Negative first. Did you know you have to have a negative and a positive to get out of this parking lot? If you're going to get home here in just a few minutes, you better have a negative cable hooked up and a positive cable hooked up. on your car, or you ain't going to get home. You got to have both. A lot of people want the positive. Oh, y'all are so nice. God is so good, and He is. That's the positive. But sometimes, somebody said, they went out Sunday morning and said, "Preacher, who were you mad at?" Sometimes you have to have a negative. Or you can't get out of the parking lot. Starts off with a negative. Watch this. And be not, that's a negative, conformed to this world. Uh-oh. Do you know our churches are being conformed to the world? Our young people are being conformed to the world. Our Christian people are conformed to the world. That means mold. Conform. You're molding something. You're molding something. You're conforming it to an image. You take some clay and you mold that thing into what you want it to be. And the world is trying to mold you. And the devil is trying to mold your children. And the devil, listen, you sit and watch. We got TV. We got three TVs. I ain't preaching against TV. But sometimes you just need to get your thumb saved. Everything I got saved, sometime a thumb, you know. Sometime we just need to take the thumb, come down here. Thumb, get saved. What that television is doing is conforming, wanting to conform your mind. Conform, be not conformed to this world. But, here's the positive. Be ye transformed. Transformed into what? I think, what is it? Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. To be conformed. Predestination ain't got anything to do with salvation. Predestination is after you're saved, you are conformed to the image of his dear son. You know what conforming is? I've given you this illustration before. I'm quitting. Give you this illustration before. Go down to the courthouse, seen these fellows out there, and they're whittling on a piece of wood. I've given this illustration before. They're whittling. I said, "What are y'all doing?" I said, "Well, we're making a little eagle." And they'd be cutting on that piece of wood and that thing. And you wouldn't be long, son. They'd have a little eagle there made out of that piece of wood. I said, "Man, that's so nice. How'd you do that?" I mean, I'm wanting a profound answer. I said, "How do you do that? How do you take a stick of wood, a block of wood, just and make an eagle out of it with a knife?" This is what he said. Profound. Write it down. I cut everything away that don't look like an eagle. Now, you're laughing. And that's what I want you to do. But watch this. God taking an old block of wood. Hallelujah. I feel something on that. A block of wood that just you could pitch in the garbage. But God can take it and take his knife. A little pocket knife. Some people have butter knives for Bibles. Some people have two-edged sword for Bibles. You can't cut an eagle out of a block of wood with a butter knife. So if you got a butter knife Bible, throw it away, get you a two-edged sword. I don't know why I got on that, but anyway. And God begins to cut away everything that don't look like Him. He wants you to be conformed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. We got to change the way we think. And the only way to change the way you think is get in here and get the mind of God. The mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How are you going to think like he thinks? You're going to have to read the book that he wrote. Dr. Phil will not give you the mind of Christ. Jerry Springer will not give you the mind of Christ. As the World Burns will not give you the mind of Christ. All of my illegitimate children will not give you the mind of Christ. Cosmopolitan magazine will not give you the mind of Christ. If you want the mind of Christ, you have to read the book that he wrote. Be not conformed. Don't be molded by the world. Just because I'm done. I'm just on this tower. I wish the young people were in here. Just because you flip on the TV and people start wearing their britches down. Don't conform to that. Don't conform to that. Just because you go to the store and buy $100 blue jeans, it's already got holes in them. Just because somebody you saw on television had a pair, don't be conformed to that. Well, I feel like I'm running the spirit. Don't conform. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, hallelujah anyhow. Let's have some prayer requests.